God, in good times and bad times, when I'm resting, God, when I'm in trouble, God, I thank you for what you've done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, which you should, turn with me to John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Reading from the New King James tonight. It's a short verse. If you have your phones, your Bible app, you know, that works too. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. Tonight, I want to speak for a few moments on the title, Doing Nothing. Let's pray. Let's pray that God speaks into our hearts today. God, speak into our hearts. God, let this whole place in the recording, God, be a spot of fertile ground, God, for your word to be planted and to grow. God, help us to hear and understand what you have. Anoint these words, God, as they go forth and protect them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. For without me, you can do nothing. It's an interesting time we're in. I was sitting at home on Monday night with my mother-in-law. I think I was watching a little bit of football. She was listening to country music. And we were talking about that the ports, there's a strike coming on the ports, apparently. I don't know if it actually happened. I did not continue to pay attention. It's happening. Okay, there we go. And we're still here. And the ports, and it was this big worry, and we're thinking about this, you know. And you think about AI. I've listened to some things recently where some people are like, the AI is our savior, and other people are like, AI is going to murder us all someday, right? And then you think about the Ukraine and the Russia war, which, by the way, is still going on. People are not talking about this. But the Ukraine and the Russia war is still going on. And then let's not forget, like the next day, I think it was the next day, Israel goes into Lebanon. And Iran shoots 300, I read something today, they shot $300 billion, if this might be right. Maybe I read it from the wrong place. But they spent a lot of millions of dollars to send missiles to Israel. And the only dead person was a non-Israelite person that was hit by a piece of shrapnel. Which, God forbid, we don't want anybody to die here, but coming after God's people with a lot of money and none of it did anything. But still, there's a war. Israel, Lebanon, Iran, all the other things going on in the Middle East. We talk about, Dave Ramsey just did an interview with former President Donald Trump. And he talked to him and he started the interview with, you know, a loaf of bread is $7 or whatever he said. I don't know where he's living, but Quick Trip has great deals. But he's talking about loaves of bread, and things are not as cheap as they were 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. Inflation has gone to the there's articles about how being a millennial or a gen, whatever is below that, it's very difficult for them to buy homes right now. Sounds like I'm getting ready to run for president, doesn't it? And then let's not forget the fact that there was a debate last night. And then you watch all over YouTube and TikTok and whatever social media thing you're using. You see people at work. And everything's, I mentioned this the other night, everything's like trying to one-up somebody or make your group or your person or your opinion look bad, right? And it's just, there's just so much garbage out there. So much stuff out there. And a lot of it's real. There's a lot of craziness right now. There's sides, there's opinions, there's fears, real fears. And I'm just talking about the big stuff. Or should I say the small stuff? Because the stuff we're seeing in our personal lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, like, that's real. We're feeling the same pressures, these same struggles, these same fears in our own lives. There's worries, there's anxieties, there's depressions. All this is happening. And it just makes you, like, what do you do? What are we supposed to do about it? There's a lot of fear involved in this. I mean, I listed off 8 or 9 things here. There's probably way more that I missed, right? I'm not super up on the news. I don't know what's all going on. If it wasn't for a big debate last night or the fact that a war started 2 days ago, like, these are some massive things. I was talking with a brother at the church a couple, I think it was a week ago, and we were talking about how we can't do anything. It's God that does it. We can't do anything. But Peter, I mean, we can. There's things we can. There's really not. It reminds me of a story. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures tonight. I joked in the pre-service meeting that some of you are going to read more scripture tonight than you typically read in a week. So this will be good. We'll all have a good time. I want to talk about the story of Hezekiah and Sennacherib. I'm going to say that wrong. We're going to say it wrong all night, and it'll feel like it's right. Sennacherib. Hezekiah was a king of Israel, and Sennacherib was the leader of the Assyrian army. So we're going to jump right in. This story is told in 3 different ways in the Bible. It's told in 2 Kings chapter 18, 19, and 20. It's told in 2 Chronicles chapters 32 and 33. And it's told in Isaiah 36 and 37. Because Isaiah was the prophet at that time. And so it's in his book. It's in Kings and Chronicles, which tells the story. And each one has a lot of the same stuff, but some add information that the other ones, like, it's just a different perspective, right? So I'm going to be going in and out of those books. I'll try to warn you when I do. I apologize in advance, Kate, if I don't. Okay, Kate's doing such a great job tonight. Right, Kate? Thank you. Woo! 2 Kings 18, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 3rd year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. So Hezekiah became king at 25, and he reigned for 29 years. Verse 3. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. David wasn't his actual father, but they're talking about the lineage of David being this king that was after God's heart. So every king after that, they're like, his father David. He wasn't good like his father David. He was bad unlike his father David. That's what they would talk about, okay? He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Verse 4, he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that after him, there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. Sorry, I said Israel. He's the king of Judah. Nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. 2 Kings chapter 18 starts the story by introducing to you the man, the king, Hezekiah. And essentially it says he came in when he was 25. He followed what God wanted. He served God. He made God number one. He removed the things that weren't of God, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria. It's kind of like a trailer for a movie. Okay, that's the start of the trailer. We're going to go down to 2 Chronicles 32. 32 verse 1, after these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. Not by himself, he had his whole army. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. So he's in Judah with his armies. He's thinking, I'm going to win over all these cities in Judah, and I'm going to attack them. And so everybody gathered together. Hezekiah got everybody together. He said, this guy's coming to come after us. And this is what Hezekiah did. Let's read verse 5. It says, and he strengthened himself. This is Hezekiah. And he strengthened him. He saw Sennacherib coming. He saw them encamped about his place. And he strengthened himself. There's a war coming. There's people in the land that are meant to do him harm, that are meant to do his kingdom harm. There is reason to be afraid. There is reason to be worried. But verse 5 says, and he strengthened himself. He built up the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and built another wall outside. Also, he prepared the Milo, it's a sub store here in Madison, but he prepared the Milo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. I'm going to go through about 6 things tonight. When we talk about doing nothing, it says, without me, you can do nothing. You can word that however you want. You can say, without me, you can do nothing. Or you can say, without me, you can do nothing. You can do that. You can do nothing. But I'm going to kind of spin it. I just like the words. I'm going to kind of spin it tonight and talk about what does doing nothing look like? Because I think this story gives us a great example of what doing nothing looks like. And we'll see how we get there at the end. So the first thing we see is that he strengthened himself. He built up the wall that was broken. And so the first thing that I want to say about doing nothing is we need to be prepared. Regardless of what is coming or what might come or what never comes, we have to be prepared to have a plan, to have a good foundation, to build the foundation in the walls of our cities and our families. Our foundation is our walk with God. Our foundation is built day by day by day in prayer and in Bible reading. It's built weekly in fasting and being closer to God. A foundation that rejects the God of this current world and makes God the center of our lives. He went and he removed all the things that weren't of God and said, we need to build our foundation if we're going to last when evil things happen. Without a foundation, doing nothing is very difficult. We need to be prepared, church. We need to be prepared. Verse 6. So he encouraged his people and said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. I'm in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 6. Now it's 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Now, if you're somebody there, you might be like, oh, I'm just kind of counting here. It looks like he has more people than you do. Had he not been prepared, I don't think Hezekiah could say what he said. Had he not been prepared and had the foundation built for what his protection truly was, his relationship with God, the things that mattered and putting God at center, I don't think he could stand up in front of his people and say, be strong and courageous because there's more with us than with him. Verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. If we can build ourselves up and strengthen ourselves, we can strengthen the people in our lives. We can strengthen our family. We can strengthen our men. We can strengthen our wives. We can strengthen our children. Men and women, we can strengthen our families. We can strengthen this church. If we will stand up and strengthen ourselves and make our foundation strong, we can strengthen the people around us. It's like this. It's almost like, do you ever watch Star Wars, like the bad ones, the first three, and they had that like giant purple bubble that all the people that didn't watch Star Wars think of. Giant purple force field. Sometimes we pray at night and we say, you know, Pastor Roy or somebody's sick. And, you know, it's Jack's turn to pray, and he'll be like, God, put a force field around Pastor Roy. I love it. Isn't that cool? It's one way to look at it. But it's like this idea that if I will strengthen myself, then the people that are in my vicinity can be strengthened as well. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria. So now Sennacherib's talking. In what do you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem? Under siege means you're just hanging out in your city. You built these big giant walls and you're just hanging out there. What are you trusting in? Does not Hezekiah persuade you? This is still Sennacherib. Does not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst? I think he said it with this kind of like sarcasm too. The Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria. Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of other lands? Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or persuade you like this, and do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? there's a lot of smack talking going on with Sennacherib. You guys are listening to your King Hezekiah. He strengthened himself. He built up the walls. You think you're good because you're chilling in this built foundation city. Do you know all the people, some of these other ones, kings, Isaiah, it lists. He's like, and this king's dead, and I took out this kingdom. And he's like listing them. He's just like listing off all the things that him and his people have done and killed and the kingdoms they've conquered. And he's like, and you're just going to sit in the city and trust Hezekiah. None of their gods could save them. How's your God going to save you? I think it's important to note at this time that we always like to read these stories and we think backwards. It's like when you're watching a movie and you're like, what's going to happen? Well, I've seen it before. I know he's going to survive, right? We've seen this before. We've read the story. But if we put ourselves in that moment, there was fear. There was danger. The world around them was crashing. All these other kingdoms were being taken over by this mighty Assyrian army that was coming after Judah and the people of God. And they weren't sitting there being like, ha ha, we know what the end of Chronicles says. There's an army outside their door. And they're talking smack to you as you sit there. And they're telling you all the thoughts that are going through your head. Yeah, you don't believe Hezekiah? You're going to believe Hezekiah? You're just going to get hungry? Yeah, I was thinking I'm going to get hungry. You're going to get thirsty. You're stuck. I am going to get thirsty. Like, you can't go out of the walls and visit your friend. Oh, I'm not going to get out of the walls and visit my friend. This Sennacherib guy has some good points. In verse 17, and he also wrote letters to revile the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him. Hey, side note, church, letters are not helpful to revile people or to say mean things because they stick around, okay? Side note. Okay, sorry. To revile the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my land. So now he's talking smack about God. The other gods aren't going to help. Your God's not going to help. And then they start calling out to the people on the wall. Hey, yeah, you guys up there, like, I hope Hezekiah is telling you all this stuff. Y'all are losers. You're sitting up there. You're stuck there. Look at our army. You're just standing and sitting on a wall. They were calling out to the Hebrews who were on the wall. They spoke against the God of Israel. But here's where we get our second part of doing nothing. 2 Kings 18:36. But the people held their peace and answered not a word, for the king's command was, do not answer him. For the king's command was, do not answer him. The second part of doing nothing is to stay silent. Don't get into the verbal jabs with Sennacherib and his people. Don't get into the verbal Facebook bats and Twitter bats and TikTok bats with all these people that disagree with you that are gonna demean your God and the things that are coming in the future. Don't get into spats with them. That's not helping us. It's not helping you. Think about how small those guys and those girls were looked on top of them. Yeah, but our God's bigger. Ha ha, we're on a wall, you're not. You seen VeggieTales with the peas? Huh? And white paralito no says, right? Don't get into verbal jabs with the opponent. No matter who they are. Church, we want to do this. It makes us feel better to get a quick jab in or a quick Facebook jab in or a Google jab in. It's not helpful. Don't get into verbal jabs with Sennacherib and his people. The world, the media, other people will say all of the things to get you riled up, to get you to give up, to get you to quit, to get you to throw in the towel, to get you to cross a line, to get you to reduce or remove or eliminate your belief in God. But these people were prepared, and so they could stay silent. They were prepared, and so they could stay silent. Exodus 14, verse 13, not part of the story, but it just fits here. And Moses said to his people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. There's nothing we can do. The battle is God's. All the unrest and the craziness. I don't care who is elected president, because whatever happens, God is in control. And whatever happens, we can choose our response to be like Christ and what he did. Maybe I'm a little biased because I watched The Chosen, but just it puts it in perspective when you realize that Jesus and the disciples lived in a time when they were being occupied by Rome. And we're worried about an opposing political view? They're occupied by Rome. Soldiers walking around telling you what you could and couldn't do. Be prepared. Stay silent. And the third one is to stand still. If we're going to do nothing, we got to stand still. Psalms 46 says, stand still and know that I am God. Church, we still need to stand. We cannot sit on the wall. We cannot sit or relax on our foundations. We cannot sit or relax on the foundations that we built. We have to make that foundation important, and we need to continue to build that foundation. Think about this. They were standing on the wall. They were standing on the foundation they had built, and because of that, they could stay silent. Because they were standing on the wall, the words and the threats didn't matter, and they could stand still. We need to stand and face the problem, but we don't need to engage the problem. Back into the story. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. So we just read that he was talking smack to everybody, and then he sent letters calling out God. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah took it to his friends, and he posted it on Facebook, and he wanted to get a bunch of opinions first. And Hezekiah wanted to first, you know, meditate on it, and he wanted to, like, you know, run it through ChatGPT to see what it really meant. No, it says he received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord. I don't see any words in between there, so I'm just going to assume that that's literal. He went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. The fourth thing we're going to do if we're going to do nothing, church, is we need to take it to God. He didn't take the letter and rip it up and throw it in the face of Sennacherib. He didn't try to dissect it and understand it. He said, nope. This letter, I'm taking this letter and I'm spreading it out. I'm going to spread it out before the Lord. Church, if we're going to do nothing, we have to take it to God. There's a physical and spiritual act that is happening here. He physically, and we got to do this at times, we got to physically bring our problems to God. That financial issue, bring that bill to God. Maybe it's in your home. Right? That job issue, whatever physical, let's bring that to God. But there's also a spiritual aspect that we have to bring to God too. Hezekiah takes the threat or the bad news to God. He spreads it out before the Lord. Which, you know, this is a pretty good philosophy to take things to God first. And I can't help but wonder, if he puts it out there and said, God, should I be worried about this? I was with somebody the other day and they said, you got to look at this YouTube video. And it wasn't the new Uber commercial with Matthew McConaughey, which is super funny, Roman. But it was this video. I'm going to try to describe it without giving it away. It was this video of this guy with really, he was like a pink polo shirt, kind of nice, goatee, very good hair. I mean, like, just, I don't know what the word is, coiffed or whatever. Very good hair. And he was kind of in the shade. And behind him, like, way back was this, like, desert with a cactus. And it's real, too. You can see it's real. And then there's a pool, just an in-ground pool with, like, a putting green, right? And he starts going off about all the bad things that are happening. I called it 2 years ago, and I called it a year ago, and I'm telling you, and I knew Israel was coming to come after Lebanon. And he starts naming all these things, and he's run for the hills, take your money out of the bank, all this stuff. I watched this video. I'm ashamed to say it. I watched this video for all 12 minutes, and I'm sitting there the whole time, and I'm thinking, wow, there's some bad stuff coming. Like, this is scary. This is, and I clicked, I was watching it with somebody. I'm like, who is this? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, oh. I was like, okay, well, have a good night. Went home, went to bed. I'm laying in bed, and this is just rattling around in my brain. And I thought about this. I said, God, should I be scared of this? So I looked it up. He's not on YouTube. He's on some other video thing. We should all get offline, apparently, except to watch his videos. I love that. And I looked at it and said, 400 views. That's what he gets for all his videos. And that doesn't mean anything. That could still be true. It doesn't matter how many views someone has. But in that moment, I said, God, should I be scared of this? He goes, nope. And I said, what in the world am I seeing? And God said, that's the spirit of fear. And the more you watch that and let that into your life, the more you're going to feel that fear and experience that fear and listen to that fear. And I was laying in bed. I'm like, oh, that's so much more clear now. I said, God, you can have that fear. That's not of you. I speak against it. I bind it from my home and I cast it out. I'm going to bed. Haven't felt a thing about it since. We got to take it to God, church. Verse 15. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel. So he spread it out before God. And then he prayed before the Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. You are God alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. You hear what he's saying here? He's like, God, this is your problem, not mine. He's coming at you and your kingdom. It's kind of bold, but I like it. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. The fifth thing, there's five, not six, sorry. The fifth thing we need to do if we're going to do nothing is we need to pray. Not some superficial, Father God, help us today prayer, but a cry out to God. When we are in need, when we feel the fear, when we need to spread our problems and our fears before God and say, God, I don't know what to do about this, but this is your problem. Help me with it. Take care of this. We need to cry from our heart. And for me, maybe it's not the same for you, but sometimes my prayers sound a little whiny, but it's really just me explaining to God what I think the problem was. If you're a man and you're married, you know what that's like. Sometimes, I'm going to keep moving on. But it's true. Sometimes I'm just explaining it to God so I can, oh, yeah, that really is nothing. I got it, God. I got about halfway through explaining to you what this was, and I realized it wasn't a big thing. Sometimes it's a reminder to me. This is bigger than anything I can do. I'm going to go vote on November 4th, but I don't really have control. Right? I really don't want war to happen in Israel and Lebanon and Iran. I'd love us all to get together, but I don't have control. I have control of a few little things in my family, in my home, in my life. Sometimes it's a reminder to me when I go to prayer and I bring this to God that I really can't do anything. And so there's no reason to fear because either God's in control or he isn't, but I can't do anything about it. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Going back to 2 Chronicles, verse 20, it says, Now because of this, King Hezekiah And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried out to heaven. They cried out. They laid it out before God. They prayed. They cried out to God. And then 2 Kings 19, verse 35, after Isaiah comes and be like, Hezekiah, God heard you, man. He's got your back. He'll take care of this. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. 185,000, and there were the corpses, all dead. Except, verse 36, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, clearly not a corpse, clearly not dead, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Church, whatever you think is coming against us, real or not, in God's eyes, it's dead. When we give it to God, it's just corpses. And so when we look at things from the perspective of where God is going to take it, when we trust him, we don't need to worry about it. This is in God's hands. Now it came to pass as Sennacherib was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adramelech and Sherezer, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. And then his son reigned in his place. 2 Chronicles 32:22 says, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, from the hand of all the others, and guided them on every side. Sometimes the right answer, church, is to do nothing. And by do nothing, I don't mean sit at home and watch video games all night. I don't mean check out of church and quit reading your Bible. I mean that we need to be prepared. We need to build our foundation. We need to stay silent when things come along. We need to stand still and face our problems. We have to take it to God and spread it out. And we need to pray and cry out for his help. At no point does it say they went down and talked smack. At no point does it say Hezekiah talked smack. He's like, this is what you're going to say about me? That's fine. I'm going to stand still in my faith, in my foundation, and you come against my God. Whatever the situation, church, whether it's these big, giant, global situations of wars and elections and fears and financial crises, whatever the situation is, whether it's personal or political or spiritual, the solution is always the same. God, not me. But too often, church, we take things into our own hands. God, he's saying bad things about you. He's saying bad things about my church. He's saying bad things about my pastor. I'm going to take care of him on Facebook. I got him. Wait till I get to Twitter. I don't need 140 characters no more. I will avenge my Lord. None of you would ever do that. I would never do that. But there was a guy who spent 3 years hand in hand with Jesus, my favorite disciple, Peter. Matthew 26:50, Judas, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas is coming to betray him, and he brings a bunch of people to betray him. Verse 50, and Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus, clearly Matthew and Peter were friends at this time because he left out Peter's name, but the other guys dimed out Peter pretty clearly. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said, thank you for avenging me, Peter. You will have your place in paradise. He didn't say that. There's no verses up there that say that. Jesus said, put your sword in its place, Peter. For all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I can't now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Put that in our perspective. Somebody said something. They're going off. They're saying wrong things. It's not truth. I got to get out there. And God's like, listen, I could do this. I don't need you for that. I don't need you to avenge me. Peter, don't kill yourself now. I have a work for you. When I die and am rose from the dead and I go up into heaven, you're about to lead my people and we are going to have some crazy revival. Please don't get caught up in the petty little fights with people. Please don't get caught up in the little bit of arguments and cutting people's ears off, and then you're in prison, and then you're of no use. Zechariah 4:6 says it best. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Musicians, if you could come. I think we are like Peter sometimes. I think we like to take things into our hands. And in some cases, we even have good intentions. In some cases, we might even use our strengths. I'm good at arguing. I'm good at crafting a word or two on a video, maybe. Maybe you're good at writing up words that can really make it eloquent. You can really punch somebody eloquently on Facebook. But it isn't our strength that gets us out of these situations. It's not our wit that gets us out of these situations. It's not our skill sets that get us out of these situations. In fact, I would argue we might not get out of these situations. It's not my great posts on social media that can give me the upper hand in a situation. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Church, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. You want to prepare yourself? We do it day by day in prayer and in Bible reading and in fasting. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost, because if we're not full of the Holy Ghost, when the enemy comes and the things of this world happen, it's going to be stressful, and there's going to be fear, and there's going to be anxiety, and there's going to be depression. And we'll be like, I don't know what to do. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Church, we need to be full of the Spirit, and we need to be led by that Spirit. But good luck being led by the Spirit that you don't know. Good luck being led by the Spirit that isn't guiding you, because you're not full of it and you're not letting it into your life. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me and you'll bear fruit. But God, I want to make a difference. Yeah, just connect to me. The difference will flow through me and through you, and fruit will start popping out. It's not because you as a vine can sit there and grunt hard enough that fruit starts popping out. Church, we need to be prepared. We need to stay silent. We need to stand still. Take it to God. And we need to pray. Stand with me tonight. What are you facing right now? Everybody close your eyes tonight. What are you facing right now? Maybe it's these big global events, and these are real. These are real events. I'm not trying to minimize them. And they do induce some fear. And it's okay to start to have those feelings. What are you facing right now? What is causing you fear and consternation? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a financial issue. What fears are you experiencing? And what is your response, church? What are you trying to do about it? Are you trying to control it? What do we need to give to God, to church? What do we need to give to God tonight, church? What do we need to spread out in front of him? Say, God, there's a lot of this. I got to give this to you. As they start to sing, I encourage you, find a place to pray. You can start right now tonight giving these things to God, coming to God and saying, God, I got to do a better job of doing nothing. I got to do a better job of trusting in you with all my heart and leaning not on my understanding. I want to be full of the Spirit, because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, by your Spirit, says the Lord. Let's give it to God tonight, church. Hallelujah.